Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Hosea, chapter 11. If you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Hosea 11. The first four verses. Before we read God's word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, since all our salvation depends upon your word, your holy word, grant that our hearts be free from worldly things, so that we may with all diligence and faith hear your word, rightly understand your will, and live according to it. To your praise and glory, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Hosea 11, the first four verses. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. We are in the middle, and this is the middle of the sermon series on the book of Galatians. Although we refer to Galatians as a book, it is in fact a letter. It's mail from 2,000 years ago. Galatians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to churches, to communities of faith, to congregations just like you in Galatia. Galatia was a region of the Roman Empire that's now part of modern-day Turkey. Now, Paul was writing to these churches. He was writing to these congregations, writing to these communities of faith that he knew. He knew them, and he loved them because these were churches, these were congregations that Paul had planted, that he had started when he was on his first missionary journey. Now, Paul wrote to these churches because he was concerned about them. He had received a report about these churches that they were turning to a different gospel, that they were turning from the gospel that Paul had preached to them, that they were turning from the gospel that they had received from Paul. The simple message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They were turning from that. And here's what happened. Other teachers had arrived in these churches. Other preachers had arrived in these churches. And they were instructing the Galatians, they were instructing them that in order to follow Jesus, in order to be a Christian, you first had to be circumcised. You first had to follow the law. In other words, you needed to be a Jew in order to be a Christian. And over and over and over again in this letter, Paul has said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? By listening to these teachers, you are giving up your freedom. By listening to these preachers, you are giving up the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ." So over and over and over, Paul is saying, don't do this. Well, today in chapter 4, we'll continue Paul's argument in this letter against those teachers, against those preachers, against that teaching. So Galatians 4, the first seven verses. "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul begins this section of his letter with an analogy. An analogy. In this section, he describes the status of an heir. Now, one who would gain an inheritance, one who would gain an estate, assets, wealth from his father. Now, in Roman society and in Greek society, both Roman and Greek society, a wealthy father would often hand his children over to guardians. A wealthy father would often the care of his children to managers. So that even though they were a child of the father, even though they were an heir, even though they were future owner of all things of their father's estate, even though they were really the young master of the estate, their children were treated no different than servants, than slaves. The time of the child was not their own. Their schedule was not their own. The child was told when to rise and when to lie down. The child was told when to study. The child was told when to come and when to go. The child was told how to dress and how to behave until the right time, until the proper time, until the time appointed by the father. And then, and only then, would the son come into his inheritance. Then, and only then, would the son gain his father's estate and gain his father's fortune. And Paul says this, that's exactly where God's people were. Paul says that's exactly where he was. Paul is saying that's exactly where you were, an heir, but a slave. A child, a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father, but in bondage, in chains. You were in bondage too, you were enslaved too, and Paul writes this at the end of verse 3. This is what Paul says you were enslaved to. He says you're enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Elementary principles of the world. Paul says you were in bondage to the elementary principles of the world. In other words, you were enslaved to the basic components of the world. Elementary things. Now, sometimes this phrase referred to basic teachings. The ABCs of life. Now, for Jews, the ABCs of life was God's law. God's law. God's law was the God-given basic teachings of life. God's law was the essential component of living life. Because the law reveals how life is lived best, how God designed life to be lived best. But Paul has already said this. Andrew talked about this last week. But the law served only as a guardian, a manager for Jews. Who were heirs, who were children of the Heavenly Father, waiting for an inheritance, waiting for an estate, waiting for a fortune, but under the law, slaves. Now, this phrase, elementary principles of the world, also held another meaning. Not only did it mean the basic teachings, the ABCs of life, but it held another meaning, one that non-Jews, one that Gentiles would have understood. So they would have heard this and known that the elementary principles, the basic components, the ABCs of the world were broadly understood as being earth and fire and water and air. Earth and fire and water and air. Now, prior to our understanding of atoms and molecules, these were the basic elements that made up the world. These were the basic elements that made up the universe, the building blocks of the universe. And they were often viewed as powers. They were often viewed as spirits, and they were often worshipped. So not only does elementary principles of the world refer to law, but it also refers to idolatry. Idolatry. So Paul is saying you were either enslaved under the law or you were enslaved to idolatry. You were enslaved under the law or you were enslaved to idolatry. And idolatry is this. This is what idolatry is. Idolatry is worshiping something other than the one true God. That's idolatry. Worshiping something other than the living God. Worshiping something other than the triune God. And as you know, you don't have to worship basic elements or basic powers to be guilty of idolatry. In fact, John Calvin, great 16th century reformer of the church, great 16th century pastor in Geneva, John Calvin described the human heart as an idol factory. Calvin said, our hearts are idol factories. Meaning this, we create our own idols. We fill our hearts with idols of our own making. And we do it over and over. It's a factory. We do it over and over and over again. So whatever in life is more important to you than God, that's an idol. Whatever you give ultimate worth to in life, that's an idol. In fact, our word worship comes from the Old English, worth-ship, which means acknowledging the worth of someone. So whatever you give ultimate worth to, you are worshiping. Whatever you serve in your life, that's an idol. Whatever you sacrifice your time and energy and thoughts to in your life, that's an idol. Whatever you have in your life, whatever it is in your life, that if you lost it, if suddenly it wasn't there, and you couldn't go on, you couldn't bear living, that's an idol. Now, although anything can be an idol, usually the good things in life are idols. Usually the best things in life become idols. And those good things are gifts. Those good things are blessings given from God to be enjoyed in life. But here's what happens. Our hearts will try to make a good thing into a supreme good thing. Our hearts will try to make something to be enjoyed into ultimate joy. Our hearts will try to make a gift into the gift giver. Your work can be an idol. Your career can be an idol. It's tempting to find security in our work. It's tempting to find value in a career. Your family can be an idol. Your children can be an idol. It's tempting to find ultimate worth in how well you raise your children. It's tempting to find your eternal value in how well your children end up doing in life. And there are lots of other idols that we can make. Your education can be an idol. Making money can be an idol. Your social standing can be an idol. A romantic relationship can be an idol. A comfortable lifestyle can be an idol. So can peer approval, your image, success. A political cause, a social cause, even ministry can become an idol. These are all good things. These are all gifts. These are all blessings from God that we can turn into ultimate things, supreme things, idols. And then this is what we do. We have an idol or idols in our heart, and then we look to them. We look to these idols that we have created to give us only what God can give us. We look to them for worth. We look to them for joy. We look to them for significance. We look to them for security and fulfillment and even salvation. But they offer nothing. Nothing but chains. They... they offer you nothing but slavery, these idols. Paul says, that's where you were.
That's where you were,
Paul says. You were an heir, a child, but in bondage, a slave to idolatry, enslaved to the basic principles of the world, until the right time, until the appointed time, until the time that the Father set. And Paul says, that time has come. That time has arrived. And Paul describes it as the fullness of time. Look at verse 4 again. Look at verse 4 again. Paul writes this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So when the time was right, the Father's appointed time, the time that he had planned, the time that he had set before time started, in fact, the time upon which all time would pivot, God sent his Son. God sent the eternal Son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, Mary, born under the law. He was a Jew, born to redeem, which means this. Redeem means buy back, buy back. That's what redeem means. Jesus came to buy back your freedom. Jesus came to purchase your freedom from bondage. Jesus came to buy back your liberation from slavery, and the cost was his life. His payment was his life that he gave on the cross. So through Jesus, through his death, you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to idolatry. You're no longer a slave to the law. You are free. You're free. You are a free son. You are a free daughter of the Heavenly Father, because in Jesus Christ, you're adopted. You are adopted. Through faith in him, you are adopted. And as a son, as a daughter, you're an heir. An heir. You have an inheritance to receive from your Father. You have an estate to receive. You have riches to receive from your Father. Now. Right now. Not just for the future, but right now. Because the time appointed by the Father has come. In Jesus. So what is your inheritance? What is it? Well, first of all, it's your name, your status. That's the first thing. Your status that the Father has placed upon you. The fact that you are a son, the fact that you are a daughter, and you're not a servant. You're a child. And nothing can change that. No one can change that once the Father has placed it on you. And by it, you have access to the throne of God. You have admittance into the presence of the Father. Go to him in prayer. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. You've been given treasure. You've been given riches that are incalculable, immeasurable. Namely, your salvation. Your redemption. Freedom, because it was purchased by the precious blood of the Son of God. Thirdly, you have the Spirit of God within you. That's the third thing. You have the Spirit of God within you. Paul says this in verse 6. Look at verse 6 again. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As a child of the living God, you have the Spirit of the living God in your heart, in your soul, in your being, so that when you cry out to the Father in faith, when you cry out Abba, which means Daddy, when you cry out Daddy, that cry is actually the Holy Spirit. It might be your words, it might be your voice, it might be your thoughts, but Paul says it's the Spirit that the Father has gifted you, the Spirit that's within you because you're his child. You have all this now. All of this is yours. You have inherited it now by faith. But there's also a future aspect to your inheritance. Your inheritance is already, it's right now, and it's also not yet. It's already, and it's not yet. And the not yet part is this, that you have an eternal home with your Father that awaits you in heaven forever. Death is not the end for you. Pain and suffering is not the end for you. Struggle and trials are not the end for you, but rather joy. That's what your Father has in store for you. Joy and blessing and peace with the Father. In the Father's house, which is also your house, you're an heir, at the Father's table, which is also your table, you are an heir forever and ever and ever. In Jesus Christ, you have received an inheritance, riches from the Father, treasures from the Father. And that was Paul's message to the Galatians, and it's Paul's message to you. And Paul's saying this, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back to bondage. Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to idolatry. Paul's saying, don't be like God's people who did this time and time again centuries before. And that's what we read about in our Old Testament reading from Hosea, the prophet Hosea. God spoke these words through Hosea. Listen to the first two verses of our Old Testament passage again. God said, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept on sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. God called Israel his son. His child. God called his child out of Egypt, saved his son from slavery in Egypt, but they kept turning back to idols. They kept serving idols. They kept sacrificing to idols and worshiping idols. This freed son kept going back to slavery. And Paul's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go back to idols. Don't go back to the law. In Jesus Christ, you don't need it. You are a child of the living God. You're not a servant. You're not a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter. You have an inheritance that's already and an inheritance that is not yet. Live in the freedom that you have as a child of the Father. Live in that freedom. Be secure in the freedom that you have as a child of the Father. And rejoice in it. Rejoice in your inheritance. Rejoice in your freedom. Rejoice in the Son, who in the fullness of time came. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son. Thank you for his coming and for his redemption. Thank you that by faith in him, we are your children and we are heirs. That we have an inheritance that you have given us now and a future inheritance as well. Father, give us joy in that inheritance. Give us freedom in our status day by day to live in the freedom that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.